Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me, as always, I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
Britt Monroe.
James Ross.
And we're coming to you from London, England. Running around the table quickly, what characters are we playing?
I am Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, a posh idiot who hits things with sticks in a flashy way.
Mm-hmm.
I am playing Hamid, the halfling sorcerer who is currently slightly singed.
I'm playing Zulf Smith, a dwarven cleric who is currently bemoaning only having one leg.
I'm playing Sasha Rackett, who is really not getting any use out of her antique appraisal skills. That's really irrelevant.
And so, recapping, last week we left them basically getting caught up in some kind of heist with Edison's simulacrum at his London house. There are craters everywhere, bodies, fire, blood. And the last thing that happened was Sasha basically swung and missed with her dagger.
Well, I threw
a miss, so don't forget to remove it from your inventory unless you pick it up.
Fine. We've only got one pencil, so that will be the running theme.
It's encouraging teamwork. Okay, so, Hamid, you're looking singed? You're looking annoyed?
I cast a second magic missile. The beautiful thing about magic missile is it hits automatically.
Yep.
My favourite thing about the spell.
Magic missile's kind of, it's the staple for all of the mages.
Yay.
5 damage.
Hey, there you go.
I rolled a 4.
Now you're actually helping.
Something that Bertie would do if he sneezed.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, he takes it on the shoulder. Yeah.
In the face.
All right then, in the face. Okay. He then, in response.
Got 2 people attacking him.
Draws as part of a move action. 5. Actually. No, he wouldn't do that. That would be foolish. He is going to...
Jump down the hole.
He's going to back up because he can still do a thrown attack. 5, 10, 15. I'll give him an acrobatic roll to try and get up onto the stage. Which he makes.
Hooray! It's a bad one. Oh. But I still. But an acrobatics achievement, like done
you're,
well,
you're
I will
generally
always.
In favor
I'm always in favour of those. I'm like, well done.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it's just run into like good range of your throwing knives, isn't he?
But I don't or like being
stabbing
in
on.
See, the problem is, Bryn, here's a question that I don't know. You might know the answer to. If someone was intending to draw as part of their move action. And also do an acrobatics roll as part
they
of that
move
action.
They should take a penalty on the roll, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that too.
But yeah, I don't know if that would even be covered in the rules.
I think it's kind of a vague one. He rolled quite high though, so I'm going to let him get away with it. He's drawn another flask.
What on earth?
I know, right? It's almost like it's their deal.
John Thermos.
And then he hoofs it straight at Sasha. Because she's near and can take it in the face with a big flask of oil. And misses!
Yay!
Spectacularly. He basically, he gets that magic missile and goes, probably more trouble than it's worth. Backs up, leaps up onto the stage, drawing his flask. He then clocks Sasha, kind of gauges the angles, throws it. Obviously, Sasha, she knows what she's doing. Very easily dodges out of the way. Straight across, and it basically smashes on the floor, near but not on Bertie. Okay. As a result, Bertie, you're up.
Okay. Do I have any other options apart from just hitting the guy?
There
who's
are
next
always
to me?
Options.
Okay.
Fleeing is an option.
I won't bother with that. Is there anything like fancy that I can do with anything that I've got nearby?
Well, what? Okay. So, what kind of thing are you thinking?
I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to maybe, like, manoeuvre that chap so that he's near the stage or maybe move him nearer the hole?
He's backed up against the stage below the piano currently.
Yeah.
If you want to maneuver him, you can enter into a grapple, which is basically grabbing him. I strongly advise against it for two reasons. The first is, whilst you would succeed, it's incredibly faffy.
There's a flow chart.
It's incredibly faffy and also ineffective. So it's very good for basically holding someone while someone else wails on them,
okay,
if they are ready for it. But to actually move people around, it's not great.
I'm just
the other option is it's incredibly complicated mechanically, just like Ben's saying. So I tend to avoid it where possible, unless it's like totally a thing that you should be doing. Yep. I'll try to deter you.
I'm just going to hit him with my big sword, I think.
So if you want to knock him, you could bull rush.
There is. Now, bull rush is where basically you use your combat maneuver bonus with an attack to push that person backwards and basically move them. What you wouldn't be able to do is bull rush someone towards you. So if you're trying to get them into a hole, which is off to
just
your side,
pushing them backwards.
It's a good way to, like, if you're fighting on a cliff top and they're right up against you, you can go and shove them off. But you couldn't pick them up, move them.
I bull rush this chap against the back of the stage and, like, knock him against the wall?
Yes, mechanically, it kind of comes down to me to just say yay or nay whether he takes damage for it. But he would be taking less damage than you just hitting him with a sword.
And the stage is only 5 foot.
Yeah,
high.
So it'd be kind of against his lower back. It wouldn't be like pinning him.
Lower back? How tall is this guy?
Incredibly tall. I just realised I'm not good at distances.
All right, fine.
Not good at distances.
All right, I'll hit him with my big sword then.
I know it sounds a bit.
No, that's fine. I'm sure
sometimes you just have to just hit the thing.
Yep, I'm sure it'll get. I'll find other ways.
Also,
more interesting ways hitting him with my big sword later.
If it was on his lower back, he could just push it into Liberator's back. Mm. He's a man in plate armor with a big shield.
Mm.
That's quite heavy.
That is
for all you know,
thinking.
It's a monster with a back made of...
It's me, Metal Spine!
I'm going to hit him with a big sword.
Do it.
Too
late. No, it doesn't matter. 18. Actually, what's the crit range on a bastard sword?
19 or 20.
Ah, oh, shame. So you don't get a critical, but you definitely hit.
Okay.
So you will be rolling... The damage for the sword, which is?
D10 plus 3.
Okay, is that plus 3 your strength, presumably?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so basically roll a D10, whatever you get, plus a flat 3 for your strength bonus.
3.
So that's 6 total. Okay. Yeah, he doesn't manage to get his sword up in time. And whilst you don't like lop an arm off or anything, you make a good strong connection on his offhand. A lot of blood starts flowing. He is clearly not wearing any armour or anything like that. They're very much kind of strictly offensive and don't really seem to be planning on being here very long. Okay, something happens that you guys aren't aware of. The guy facing off against Bertie will take a 5 foot step back.
Do I get to...
It's a 5 foot step. So what that means is he's trading his entire move action to move one square but not provoke the attack. So you would be right in that if he was trying to move, he would basically take a hit. But he is trading a whole move action just to get out of range of you and then is now going to do another move action. So he will go 5, 10. So he's backing up towards the back of the room. He will then do an acrobatics check to... get up onto the stage. He'll make it.
Oh no.
And he'll get there too. And as he was doing so, because he rolled very high, he successfully managed to draw a flask of oil. So you now have two people flanking the hole on either side.
Squishy rogue!
Both wielding flasks. Well, no, actually, the one that threw one at you obviously still needs to draw again. So, Zolf, you are up.
Hold my action until the diplomats do something.
Mm-hmm. It might be worth pointing out, actually, your floating disc thing, the thing that we
realised
after the last episode.
I read the rules.
Oh, it's a foolish idea.
Yeah, so I realised that the disc is 3 foot.
Oh.
But it can still be used as a stepping stone. You just can't hold.
Like multiple people.
Yeah. It also only floats 3 foot above the ground or water.
I basically was thinking is, honestly, I liked it as a solution and I'm quite happy to fudge it a little bit. So what we'll say is that there are sufficient amounts of sort of floorboards and stuff poking out that it's too weak for someone to stand on, but it's enough that mechanically they could get on. The problem that you're going to have is that you're not going to just be able to ferry him across you'd have to sort of go round the edge of the crater with it rather than sort of going over the...
What I'm...
Across that smaller bit of the crater. Yeah,
could do. Could do. Probably should have done that. But I can't... effectively, I can't. Is the entire crater? Is that section the bits with the floorboards, or is the entire crater like that?
It's just this bit. I've allowed you to summon it on. You could go round the edge of it because all of the edge is like that, but you couldn't go across the.
That's fine. It's that what I'm going to do is put my good leg forward, and kind of just drop my shield just on the floor, and lean forward, and basically. That I'm not going to be able to move it without it falling down. So basically, just try and help them across. It's now only a 5 foot jump.
Yeah, so they should be able
so
to make it.
Should
that.
Be okay.
Okay.
What about the unconscious one.
We'll see.
Hopefully, they pass them to me, and if not.
So is your turn basically that you're just reaching out and you're.
Effectively, kind of holding to do stuff to help them.
Would you rather hold an action to insert?
Would
you rather ready an action?
Ready an action, yes, okay. For the trigger of them coming across.
I'm going to spell it out for listeners who may not be aware of it. There are two types of sort of action which aren't doing anything but are preparing to. Hold action is where, in turn order, you forego your turn to insert it at a later event. So if, say, Bryn is doing something that takes a while, Zolf could hold off to wait until Bryn's finished his thing before inserting his, that kind of thing. But obviously you hold your action, but you can't hold it and then stack a bunch of actions. So by the time it comes back around to you, if you've just not used your action, you just skip your go. Readied action is one where you are using that action. It is used in this turn, but how it works is a set of predetermined sort of triggers.
Conditions,
yeah, good word. Are set, and then when those conditions are met, your event activates, no matter what's happening. But the catch with it is, you have to be quite specific, because if you say, I attack the next person that comes in the room, the rule specifically says, you are so keyed up and ready to attack someone, that let's say that your mate comes in the door, hiya!
No!
So you have to, it's not trying to penalise you like, you know, the evil genie with his wish, I wish to live forever, he turns you into a turtle, but it is still, like, you have to be careful.
Mortal death. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm not a genie. Put the wings of a celestial beam beyond my mere mortal capabilities.
Note to self, when I get to level 18, cast the spell Wish.
Oh, I hate Wish.
So yes, I will ready the an action to help the first three people across, the next people across this thing.
Okay, I'll allow that. Yeah. That's fine. In which case, then, Sasha, you're up.
I look down the hole. You said that there's some stuff going on. Also, could you give me a bit more of a description of what's going on the stage? Because I'll probably need to jump across and stab someone in the skull.
Sure.
You know?
So on the stage, the lectern that Edison was at, which is stage right or the left from the audience, has been just blown away. It's been blown off into the audience somewhere. The two sort of apparent servants are backed up right to where the curtain was at the back. Each flanking a large hole in the middle of the stage. You are sort of towards the front of the stage, facing them and looking down. To the right is the piano on a large section which appears quite weak, to the point where if you wanted to do anything clever with it, you could probably get that floor to cave in if you can get creative with it. Who knows what it'd take with it, though. The servants, one of them already has a flask in hand, another one is sort of seems to be reaching to draw one. And it's very clear that they're backing into that and just, they seem to be keeping, and you're not giving me a sense motive.
That's 13 plus 6, 19.
19, yeah. They're definitely working to just keep people at bay. They're not trying to eliminate every single person here because everything that they've done, clearly they've been going about it the wrong way if that's the job. So they're...
Apart from the massive bomb that killed the entire audience.
Not all of them. Colgate and Byron, they're kicking around.
Yeah, five people in total.
God, that's a Saturday morning cartoon. I want to see Colgate and Byron.
Colgate and Byron. I smell a sitcom.
No, you don't. It's Colgate.
Minty fresh sitcom.
Colgate and Byron. One of them likes toothpaste. The other likes keeping geese on his person.
It's bear with shiny.
It's a very niche program. So yeah, looking down into the hole, you are again looking down into that wine cellar. But the thing that you're seeing is you're looking against the back wall of that wine cellar. Mm-hmm. And
so the back wall of the wine
cellar. It's the back wall of the sort of music room is in line with the back wall of the cellar. There are huge, massive casks against the back, you know, for the pouring of the larger wines rather than some of, like...
Large!
Byron's favourites. But one of those casks is just blown away and exposing a gaping hole in the back of the wall, which is leading basically into darkness. There's a lot of wine across the floor. And you see that... Yeah, basically, it looks very much like that's where they are going through, but not where they came in, because obviously the servants were already kicking around.
And there's no sign of Mr. Shiny Face?
Mr. Shiny Face isn't out there.
No. Okay, well... and these guys, if they wanted to stop me coming through, they're not going to stop me jumping down into the hole.
They what they could do is, if you get down there and let's say that you... fluff of acrobatics roll.
Yeah, they could throw fire.
They can literally
on
just drop fire on your head, so you've got to factor that in. But
Currently,
they are not in attacking distance of you.
Right, okay, so for someone with a pretty high acrobatics skill and a decent dex, what is the likelihood of being able to jump across a hole like that?
So you want to jump.
That's a 20 foot jump. And I am 5
where
foot.
Where are you trying to jump to?
Just if I was trying to jump to get behind people.
Isn't that only a 10 foot jump?
That would be 15,
sorry. Yeah. It's a 15-foot jump. A 15-foot jump from standing, I can get the DCs for. It's going to be doable, but not
advised. It doesn't really help either, does it? Because everyone is facing in all directions.
Yeah.
The thing that we don't like to mention in Pathfinder is that we have eyes all around our
heads. All horrible Lovecraftian abominations.
Eyes just go all the way around.
So yeah, when it comes to a rogue, it's either catching people that don't know you're there, or it's getting people who are already involved in a fight and can't pay attention. One of the sneaky things that you can do is deliberately hide in the middle of combat.
But
it's a bit of a time investment, because you're basically going to spend a turn to hide, hope that it works, and then use the next turn to come out from your hiding place. So it only really works if you're against, say, an archer.
Yeah.
That's a great tactic. With these guys where they can swap to melee and just go, there you are, shank.
So I can't do a Skyrim and just crouch and immediate everyone's like, she's gone!
Where is she?
Must have been the wind.
Yeah.
You mentioned the servants are all wearing pots on their heads, so that should be
Oh, God. I mean, so there is no effective option here for a flanker person.
I'm going to be a horrible GM and go, move. It's combat. You don't get the time to consider.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, but I wanted to look down.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just going to... I'm going to go...
If you jump down, you don't need to make an acrobatics check, because it's just a 5 foot drop, so you can do that straightforward. It'll still take you...
Sorry, I'm going to move up to this dude
stab him
in the face.
Your dex is pretty high. You should be able to at least go toe-to-toe for a little bit.
Yeah. So, do I have time to stab him with my two weapons?
You've moved first, so no. But if you are next turn, if he doesn't move and you don't move, yes.
I only get stabbed with one weapon.
Also, to be dancing in a way that doesn't actually affect what you did throw one of your weapons, so that move should have been a move and draw. Because you threw a knife.
Right, yeah.
So
no, but they're
one.
Already in my hand.
Only two of them, though.
But you'll have
threw one, so
and then
one of
you're
them
drawing another one
hand.
Out. That's fine. But like he says, it doesn't affect anything that you did.
I will have one in my hand because I have two.
Yeah, so she can
things.
Still do a single attack.
I threw one and
yeah,
one
yeah. That well, what I mean is, what I mean is, if you want to do a two weapon attack next turn,
right,
you have to draw it.
Next
so if
time.
You move and draw your second one and attack with one this
true
turn,
that.
You've kind of pre.
I've got one out right now, though.
Sure, I'd advise you doing what he said about drawing it. Because if you try to draw a weapon facing them, you get the attack's opportunity. So, for instance, he now isn't holding a weapon, okay?
Right, yep.
So if he tries to, you get all of your attack of opportunity, which is quite cool. But
are you saying that I get to stab him now or not?
Yes.
Can I stab him?
You can stab him once now,
yes.
And if he tries to take any weapons out to fight you, you get to stab him again.
Okay, cool. Can I stab him? I want to stab him. Please.
Stab him.
That's six.
You may still. What's your... attack bonus with the dagger?
One.
Bearing in mind you're not attacking with two, so do the penalties apply?
No, they don't.
It doesn't... You are taking a feat to mediate the penalties rather than give you bonuses to cancel them out, so it's not like if you swap to one, suddenly a two-handed fighter is amazing with one.
Yeah, it's just that usually, because my attack bonus is 1, and then usually when I'm attacking with the 2, I take a minus 1 each time. Okay.
And he just gets... Yeah.
So a lot of the time I was...
Honestly, she'd roll so low it wouldn't be a factor anyway.
What I mean is if you're attacking with one weapon, right?
Mm-hmm. If she's only holding one.
Oh, if you're holding another...
Okay. I think is the ruler.
Kind of a bit weird. Again, I might be. You can hold a shield and. Yeah.
Forgive me, I'm only holding.
It's a moot point because she didn't roll high enough.
Yeah, I'm just holding one dagger like a normal one weapon lame-o, you know? Like, you crap people with your one weapons.
Yeah, you can hold stuff in an offhand and you don't take penalties. It's when you start trying to attack with both.
It would be a plus 4 then.
Still not.
No, I know, but it's just important to know.
I understand. Why am I rolling? I don't get anything. I'm afraid you don't get that. But like I said,
but
if he tries to draw...
I'm standing in the way so he can't hit Hammond again. Because I'm a freaking hero.
And the magic missiles go, woo!
Oh yeah, magic missiles, magic. They can't affect you. Okay, which brings me to Hammond.
Shoot him!
One.
Shoot him!
Shoot him! 2, 3, 4. Magic missile!
Try and make a point of describing what you're doing for listeners. So you've gone around the crater.
I'm moving around the crater. I'm casting a third magic missile at the guy who burned me. And the magic missile swerves unerringly around Sasha.
Oh, unerringly, good word.
To catch him totally by surprise. And I roll a 4 again, do another 5 damage.
Oh, that may, you know what?
Teamwork.
Yeah. My standing in front of him, ineffectively waggling a knife.
That 4 would never have been rolled if you hadn't been standing in front of him.
Yeah, you would have maybe tried to run away.
5, did you say?
5 damage.
Well, he wouldn't have rolled it if he ran away like a cowardy coward.
He's knocked down.
That's absurd.
I know.
Even our biggest guy only has 13 hit points.
I know.
Maybe these guys are level 2.
Those don't exist. Don't talk about mythic creatures of that power.
The legendary level 3.
We better be getting a lot of XP for this encounter.
Yeah. Okay, so heading into the next round. Basically the next player, I should say. The one who you just hit, who's looking at Sasha, holding a dagger, having been hit by a magic missile. He basically takes a look at the situation, takes a 5-foot step left,
into a hole.
And takes that drop. He then tries to mediate falling. Unsuccessfully.
Oh!
He doesn't break a leg or anything. Ah. But he still, like, that's his turn, is that he's landed. So he is currently, if you can still see down. Mm-hmm. He jumped, he fell, and then he landed with a splash, awkwardly. On a barrel that was floating there and broke under him.
I'm just sketching out below. So this is the hole roughly here?
The hole is about 10 foot and about there. So you might want to just scribble
This is the lower floor that you're drawing.
Yeah, and there are caskets on either side that are 10 foot wide each.
Casks.
Yeah.
Spooky wine
cellar.
Oh,
sorry. I did forget to mention. There's an enormous amount of vampires.
right.
Awkward! But most of those aren't like whole, they're kind of blasted and leaking and a bit mucked up. To spell out for listeners, Lyd drew some lovely casks and then just kind of squiggled on them with a finger to try and make them look a bit more messed up. So yeah, he landed on basically one of those big jobs. Okay, Bertie, you're up.
Okay, I have an idea for a thing that I would like to do that's a bit showy.
Sounds very you.
I know. I would like to put in the extra effort if it's possible. I want to know how rickety this bit of the stage is.
Pretty rickety. Give me a perception check.
For a rickety level.
10 minus 1 is 9.
You've hit things that are less rickety than that and they've broken.
Like that table. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. My old nemesis, the table!
Still standing, still there.
But slightly askew.
A little bit cockeye. I I have to do a recall at the end of the campaign, just resulting in you looking at a table. Somehow I have to have that.
I've never let it be said that Sir Bertrand McGuffingham does not leave his enemies slightly wonky.
You have to be the illustrator about that, right?
What I would like to do is do a power attack on this bit of stage, through with the piano bit on it as well, knocking as much of that floor out as possible, and hopefully tilting that guy so he falls down unexpectedly.
So yeah, you're basically like a baseball swing into the actual stage.
Massive, absolutely massive. All full weight, straight charge, straight into the base of the stage, hacking away at that. Ideally through the piano as well if I can reach it. Just the maximum force possible in order to try and collapse the floor from underneath the chap who's just on the other side of the piano. Because I have a -8 acrobatics thing. Which means I'm just going to be jumping up impotently like a toddler at the edge of a playpen.
Go for it.
In combat, is he allowed to do the takes to like the pomp and pageantry thing?
So it's not about slowing himself down. So.
Yeah. So the thing is, the logic being is that you can't apply to attack because you're going, I'm going to hit you, here it comes, and you didn't put any force behind it. So, but he could, in combat, let's say... I can't think of any scenario that would require this. Let's say he's trying to open a lock, even with his -1,000,000 armor check penalty. He could do that in combat. You can open locks in combat.
Look at this fluffy lock!
But instead of it taking him 50 rounds, because he can't do it anyway, it'd take him 100 rounds!
Ah, Mr. Lock, my old nemesis.
Have you ever met Mr. Table?
Okay, go for it. Give me the attack roll.
I'm going to... Can I power attack that table? So the table, the piano, right? The table
in general, the AC of unmoving objects is 5.
Okay.
So large wall size. You're going to be all right. Roll it. Basically, I'm trying to see if you fluff. If you don't fluff it, then, you get the hit.
2.
Oh,
it was close.
What's your attack bonus?
My attack bonus, 4.
4,
for the
but
you,
if you're activating power attack, it
which
was
you
dropped
did.
By 1.
Yeah. Which is
a total of 5.
7 in total then.
No.
So I rolled 2 on the dice.
Yep.
And then
plus 4, minus
okay.
1.
Oh, minus 1.
So you're onto 5 on the money. Basically, you wind up, give it a massive baseball. No! Don't miss completely, but you did kind of do what you did with the table, which is you just misjudge where you're going to hit it, and you totally, like, lop off all the legs of the piano, and it goes... boom, boom, and the floor cracks and creaks, doesn't give way, but you did just... You perfectly severed all of the limbs of the piano, but didn't actually manage to break the floor.
Not such a grand piano now, are we, hey?
Oh, that's in character, isn't it?
Can it crack under the weight of that insult?
Okay, so keeping it moving, give me a perception check, Sasha.
19 plus, where is it? I think it's 6. Was my perception? Yes, so 25.
You hear further explosions down the tunnel, which are, that it looks like they're trying to head towards.
Okay. Scary times.
Yep. And 2. Okay, the guy who is on the far side of the piano. Is holding a flask. He chucks it at Bertie. Ooh, that might not. No. Won't.
Have an AC of 20.
It does not. It might count as a touch attack.
It does not. Not. Not what they're using, basically.
Okay.
He launches it. It sails over, lands vaguely near Zolf. Let's say again, doesn't hit him. Just sets some fire. He then curses and then does the same thing, the 5-foot step to drop down. Also lands awkwardly on the other side one. So exactly the same as the other one. He lands, he's kind of on his back amongst broken barrel going, oh, God. And Zolf, you are up.
Diplomats should have moved already because I readied an action last round.
So we did. I apologise. Yep, I skipped theirs. That's fine.
Yep.
What they will have done is we'll retroactively do this. They try to chuck over the one who is injured.
Which one is injured?
That one.
The one on his side.
No, I mean, is it the Japanese diplomat?
Yes, it was the Japanese diplomat appeared to be injured.
This is me holding out my hands,
in
ready
fairness,
to catch them.
I should point out why. Actually, the fire has basically moved into a square that they were previously occupying.
Yep.
Because it's closing in quite fast. Yeah. Firing Pathfinder is a bit of a weird one. It moves like one square radially, so you can have this thing where a fire can spread really quickly.
To massively shoot myself in the foot. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it moving that way?
Yeah.
Oh, it should be too. I apologize.
Yep.
Like twice.
That's towards us. For you can't see.
So we'll call it that.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem soon.
Be careful about your feet. Yeah. Okay. You lost the other one.
It is a wooden thing. So, don't want to catch fire.
No.
Okay, can you give me a reflex save?
Yes,
please,
yes, a catchy save.
You will be getting a bonus because you readied an action.
Ooh, my reflex bonus is 0. 11.
11? Okay, they basically... The fire's coming in, they don't have any other options. They chuck the injured one across. You reach out, successfully grab them, but they don't come onto your side. They're basically hanging over the gap.
Okay.
And it is... That's what's been happening. It is your turn now.
Heave!
Yep, give me a strength check.
Yes.
Ooh!
9.
Do you have any bonuses?
That is including my bonus. Unless it's an athletic... Oh, the athletics isn't a thing in this system. Yes, that 9.
Athletics is 4, isn't it? Version 4? Yeah. Basically... No, you're going to have to...
While I'm doing that, just shout at the other person. Jump across yourselves!
Yep. So, their turn. First one. I had to backtrack, so he's sort of hanging.
Oh, okay.
And the two...
Wasn't he unconscious?
Yeah, they
yeah. Oh, right, so he's holding
across.
Yeah.
They tossed him across, so he's holding an unconscious body over a gap. Uh-huh. And then the first of the other diplomats does the jump.
Only a 5-foot jump.
Makes it.
Yay!
Just.
Yeah.
They're on shaky territory, but they still have their move action, so. So they go to there because they don't really know what they're doing.
Just mill around going, we're not fighting.
The other one.
The Ferrero Rocher.
The other one. Leap! And fails it.
Wait, can I make a reflex save to grab him with my other hand?
Yes, you are in range. Bear in mind, though, that it's going to make pulling them up harder, and you will be taking a penalty for the one you're already holding.
That's fine. I can give just hold on to them and wait for help.
Because you did say you would reach out for all of them.
Depends on the bonuses. It might be a 10 DC. 8.
8. No. Basically, they you see the French diplomat runs... No! You swing and miss, barely. You barely miss them. They drop. You see them drop about 20 feet. And there's a splash. There's that much fire and smoke, you can't see what happened to them.
Yeah. Aww.
It's a very sort of cliffhanger-esque.
Yep.
Too much noise, you don't know. They could be alright, but probably not.
Well, balls.
I'm assuming that wasn't in character.
No. I'll use the accent if I'm in character.
Okay, we're going to take a break now, and then we'll get back to the action in a couple of minutes.
Ooh.
Hi guys, Alex here. Normally we'd put an ad break at this point, letting you know about new developments at Rusty Quill, mention sponsors, or just recommend other shows that we think you'd enjoy. But today, we just want to take the time to thank you. It takes a lot of time and effort and money to make podcasts like this, and it means a lot to us that you've decided to listen, so thank you. You're awesome. In fact, you are so awesome that we want to keep making great content for you and introduce you to loads of new shows, but in order to do that, we need your help. The more listeners that we get, the more content we can make. It's as simple as that, and the best way that we can get listeners is by word of mouth. In the credits at the end of the episode, we include details about how you can get involved online, but honestly, the best way that you can help us is by recommending us to people that you know. Tell a friend, tell a co-worker, tell your pet iguana. If just one of the people or lizards that you talk to subscribes, that's going to be a huge help to us. We're looking forward to making loads more content for you in the future, and we want to share it with everyone that you care about. So thanks again for getting involved, and we hope we get to meet you, your friends, and all your lizards real soon. Well, that's everything for now, so sit back, relax, and let's get back to the show. And welcome back. So we are now into the next turn. Hamid, you're up.
I'm sort of... Part of me wants to help, but I...
Part of me wants to help.
Well, the thing is, I want to help the people that are still alive in this room.
Uh-huh.
But I have literally no way of doing that. I don't have any way to deal with the fire.
Have you got any way of suppressing that chap who's fallen through?
Can you... Can I take a quick glance down the crater to my...
You are right
left.
At the edge, so you can look down.
Yeah.
It's similar to Zolf's End. There, it was a wine cellar, and there's huge, like, dinks in the floor, and where wine is draining away. Clearly, some massive explosives have gone off. It looks like it'd be a bad idea dropping down at that particular point. That area up there, there's a sort of, it's raised up by rubble and so on, so they've kind of dropped down and then rolled across. So it's not the sort of 30 foot. You're looking more like a 15 foot, 10 foot drop. It's doable. For there, you're looking at 30 foot. You could do it. But in Pathfinder, it's like every 5 foot beyond a certain amount, like 20 or 10 or something, you're looking at 1d6 damage. So fall damage in Pathfinder works. Like, it's a good way of getting rid of your problems.
I am going to shout, one of them got away with something important.
Okay, you're going to do an acrobatics check
and
to get
up the
stage.
Basically double move to...
Yep, so let's get an acrobatics check to get you up the stage.
Good. 15 plus 4, 19.
Yeah, you're fine, you're onto the stage, and then you just drop down, so you do the acrobatics check to mediate your fall rather than to actually get down there.
15 plus 4, 19.
Yeah, awesome, so you sprint towards
right.
the stage.
I might be a sorcerer, but I'm also a ninja.
How close are you to...
He will be landing actually pretty much the exact square that he placed himself in.
That's what I thought. Can I look around and see the guy who just fell? Is he on the other side of the room?
Okay, give me a perception check.
17 plus 6, 23.
You see what is... Okay. The thing that you're seeing is there are lots of bodies. A lot of people have fallen through the floor. I mean, there's a few more bodies around here. I haven't put on, which I probably should have, but
no,
I'm lazy. But there's a number of bodies that are down there. It looks like a couple might be moving. It's hard to tell. There's a lot of movement in the water, like masonry's falling and putting ripples around. You do, however, see clearly that there is someone there moving.
Okay.
You can't hear them over the noise, but you can see someone sort of thrashing... towards
do I have any movement speed left?
No. Okay. Not the way that you've done that, basically.
Sure. Yeah.
Because your acrobatic doubled and so on. I like that. Good thinking. Okay. The first one that fell uses his move action to stand up. Sees you.
Foolish.
And he can't charge because he's on basically rough terrain. He's stood amongst a giant broken cask, so he can't charge.
He's also Hamid further up, like a mound of rubble.
Yeah, I mean it's difficult terrain. No one's charging.
Okay.
So what will he do? He will do an acrobatic check to try and move across the broken cask without hurting himself.
Hamid, you will die.
And fail, which means he has to move one square. So can you move him one, two? Yeah. He's basically blocking the sort of tunnel entrance. Okay, and that's his entire turn because he botched his acrobatics and used his move to stand up, which leads us on to Bertie.
Okay.
You've just really, really knackered a piano.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
How rickety is the... Lid is pointing at the Japanese diplomat.
Yeah, who's currently
strong,
dangling over a hole.
Strong man.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a very subtle reminder, but not to...
Oh, that's
prodgy,
fine.
Not
no, it's okay. I'm not sure that's my top priority at the moment, because there's still enemies that need vanquishing, and you can't make okonomiyaki without breaking eggs. So.
Oh, nice.
Quite a Chessington world.
No, it's fine. It can't all be gold. So, Okay. Right. What I'm thinking I would like to do, mm-hmm. if the stage is still sufficiently rickety, is I want to have another hack at the stage, let the piano fall through straight onto those one, possibly two, who are directly underneath it, as far as I can tell from how sure. things are staged.
It would be about here. There.
Would it?
Although you might not necessarily know that.
It depends how much stage it takes then.
Oh, yeah. No, it'd be there. Yeah, true. But the piano
The piano would not be falling directly onto them.
Okay, so but it would, like, bounce. Or...
But it's near.
You could be getting basically a sort of shrapnel effect.
Okay. And also,
just shove the piano into the hole. They can drop through okay. the hole. Just shove the piano into the hole.
You can totally do that.
I'm going to shove the piano through the hole.
I'm going to make that a strength check because you're already stood. You can literally reach out
yeah.
and you don't have
it's got
any
no
legs,
or anything. So it's actually a shoving.
Yeah, you are literally shunting it.
Why not hit it with the flat of your bastard sword like a baseball bat?
You would be doing an attack roll for that.
Is that a better... bonus.
You get more bonuses on an attack roll.
You will get more bonuses on an attack roll, but you are rolling to have any effect at all.
Okay.
A strength roll, you are just... I am guaranteeing you that you can move it, assuming
okay.
you roll.
Oh, okay.
How
yeah.
far it moves is on the strength. But so would you rather... wait, basically, it's a choice between maybe no effect and missing, but if you do make contact, it moving more, basically,
mm-hmm.
or you guaranteeing that something happens, but... it being less likely to be an overwhelming advantage.
I think the more Gamble. Obvious thing is for shoving it, because it's at shoving height.
I agree.
It also makes it, like, it makes retroactive narrative sense, and Bertie's got an eye on that, for chopping the legs up in the first place. Meant to do this all along. I'm not going to be going soft on you,
retroactively justifying your previous mistake.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, I like that. Go with it. Go with the strength.
Okay, cool. So we're going with the strength. We're giving it a shove.
Yep.
I've uttered that immortal line, which I think deserved better than it got.
I didn't even get it.
A piano that means soft. So I'm not going soft on you.
James,
get
just
out.
Roll the dice.
I mean, my character. Puns, what he does.
Also, isn't the full phrase piano fortissimo?
Maybe. You can edit all
no, but
that
that's
out.
Just
I'm not going
oh,
to.
Keep it in.
You roll your dice and you feel.
Right.
You think about what you've done.
Fine. Right. So Bertie gives the edge of the piano an almighty shove.
Uh-huh.
15
Ooh.
Plus an ability modifier, strength modifier of 3 is 18.
Yep. Bertie basically... I will say that you have to drop your bastard sword to have gotten both hands on it. You can't just sort of one hand shove it.
Okay, would I sheathe it, or does it make a difference if I drop it?
Just drop.
All right, fair enough.
Well, I mean, if shoving is a standard action, he can pick it back up again.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. is that you basically
okay.
dropped it. I'm just right. I'm about to describe what happened, so don't go, I didn't do that.
Fine, yeah.
Drop your bastard sword, shove that piano hard as you can. It goes tumbling down the hole, and... crunch straight onto the one on the right hand side.
So it that hole
yeah so that there, that basically. Hole is sort of there
it falls
so
awkwardly
just...
some of the floor falls away it lands on that guy
yeah. and this guy so
it spun the model around as Lynn drew the pen around it
just,
so it did a lovely little pirouette.
So what Hamid sees is Hamid's just been looking over there to see what happened to the French diplomat. Turns back to see a piano just
flung.
Thanks, Bertie.
Sorry.
I knew what happened. There's only one person I know who would make a piano drop on my head.
This is almost exactly like that bar fight the second time.
What's fascinating is you've managed to make a completely cartoon scenario happen.
Yep.
Totally legitimately yeah. and not in a weird way. Okay, cool.
Perception check to see if it's real. Written there, the piano is made by the Acme Piano Company.
I am going to find out whether... Okay. Just going to cross that person off from the... Yep, so...
No, the body might be in the way of the hole.
I think the piano is more in the way.
True.
Let's just say that Zolf, you're up.
Okay, now I've got a hand free because I dropped my trident to try and grab the other guy. Second hand. Really try and yank this guy up.
Sure.
And hope I don't roll like a fool. I rolled like a fool.
How badly?
Eight.
Eight.
I'm still kind of.
You can sustain,
going,
but you can't lift.
Need a little help here!
Sasha.
I want to jump on that guy and stab him in the head from above.
Ah, the full Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
So, totally doable. I'm just trying to think mechanically. There is actually a feat which you may want to look into, which is...
Stab in the head like a cool, cool person.
It's a really long word for a feat, but bizarrely, that's what they call it. It's something like there's a leap attack and then there's an advanced form of it where it is literally that, like, if you are dropping from above on someone, you get a bonus to hit, and then the advanced one is you get a bonus to damage and then a bonus to blah, blah, blah.
If I was going to do that, I'd put more... stats in climb first, because this scenario is rare.
That's the thing, is it's one of those ones where it gives you huge bonuses in a really context specific one.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get to drop down, and I'm not going to make you do an acrobatics check to mediate your fall, because you're basically trying to land on him.
Yeah.
So if you do me a favor and just give me an attack roll, there will be a penalty. I'm going to rule.
Don't I get a bonus for jumping on his head?
Bear with. Because it's such a complex action that you're trying to do, I'm going to give you a minus one to hit, but a plus one on damage.
Yay! 10.
Plus your modifier.
Wait, which thing is the modifier?
So if you're attacking with the single, you're not doing a double or anything. No. It will be...
Is that the attack bonus thing? One? Or...
Basically, just... Even looking at the mass, it's not possible for like any permutation of it. You've dropped short by like a couple.
What? I'm an acrobatic superstar.
A level one acrobatic superstar.
He's still down.
Definitely he's still, not he's still standing prone.
No,
up.
He was standing up.
Oh yeah, he did. He sidestepped, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he didn't get knocked over by the piano. The other guy got completely taken out by it.
Nonsense.
It was a good solid try though, and I'm not going to make you. Roll acrobatics to have not fallen, basically. The diplomats. You see the one who, because you have your eyes in all directions, you basically hear a cry.
I also rolled like 25 on my
reception. Yeah, you rolled amazingly high. So yeah, I'll tell you what you hear. You hear the French diplomat. Please, can somebody help me? Please. Meanwhile, the diplomat on the end of Zolf's arm
is on.
Yes.
Is unconscious.
Sort of like a...
However,
oh, cool.
This diplomat is going to try and help Zolf.
Yes, he is. Good diplomat.
Wraps his hand into...
That's diplomacy.
wraps his hand onto Zolf's belt and starts trying to yank him back. Doesn't succeed.
It's a very frail office
stroke. I was going to say, he's... This isn't a particularly like well-built individual. In which case, Hamid, you're up.
I cast Acid Splash
on
the one remaining standing enemy.
I have to ask. Maybe you don't like Sasha.
maybe
it's a cunning backstab with acid.
So this is a ranged touch attack.
Sure. So just a spell out, just for your roll. A touch attack is going against someone's touch AC, which ignores certain aspects of the things that normally would count into your AC, and that's to reflect the fact that they're not actually having to hit the person, they're not having to make real contact, it's just if acid even gets on their armor, it's still going to be doing a hit. So what was the attack?
Eight.
Eight?
Sadly.
No, won't
enough.
Make it.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid it's a good try, but just swing and a
misses.
Miss. Yeah.
This guy is like blessed, but someone drops down and misses him, and there's a piano like inches away on the other side, and then acid is splashed next to his
he's
feet.
He's already like millimeters from death from all the damage we've done him earlier.
Yeah,
as
totally.
Well.
I mean, he's got a pronounced limp,
and yet still is like dodging
his
pianos,
turn.
Assassins,
he
and acid splashes.
He is going to dive out down that hole.
Which hole? Oh, the one behind him.
What a poop.
He's going to leave the guy who's covered in piano and...
is he going to make a withdrawal action?
He might. By which I mean yes. I'm going to keep you guys in combat time a little bit longer. But be aware, obviously, that those guys are now no longer in this sort of battle scenario. If you were to chase them down, that's fine.
Yes.
But everything else is still happening in those initiative order. Okay? And you know what? I think... Bertie, you're up.
Okay. I think if that chap has kind of fled out of range, I think it's probably more reasonable that I would start helping.
Yeah, very much.
Yay, the big strong man.
Yeah. So
you can get there in a single move.
Yeah.
Because you have both your legs.
Yep.
And they're a human.
Mm-hmm. And you also get to make a strength check as your standard action.
7 plus 3 first strength check is 10.
No, not yet.
This is Laurel and Hardy levels of just incompetence. Three people just like,
is there not?
I am the ambassador. Does he not get a bonus?
Does he not get a bonus from the other people helping?
What I may have been leading to is they may choose to, they may not. You're a scary man. No, it's fine. Basically, both of you. Actually,
all
I'm not
three.
Sure. Mechanically, I'm not sure if they're allowed to give a help unless it is like they ready the action on the other person's turn in combat.
I don't know. That's a good.
I'm going to say that basically you're not coordinating, and that if you wanted to help one another, you basically you'd have to all ready your actions to give a massive coordinated heave. Otherwise, you're basically pulling kind of against one another. So, I'd say that it's almost a foregone conclusion that the person's up, but they're not yet. Zolf. Your option is either try on your own before they've coordinated, or ready in action and tell them, basically.
The diplomat goes after me, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to say, right, on three, as the ready, one, two,
yeah, I get you.
Three.
So Bertie won't be helping on this.
Yeah, that's
one.
Fine, but I need
to
wait to
a hold. Skill check to count to three.
Okay, so, Sasha first, and then it'll be the diplomat. Mm-hmm.
Firstly, can I do a perception check on whether anyone is coming to frickin' help, since there was a big explosion and there's all these bodies?
Please roll a perception check.
Just, is there anyone in this massive building?
Worth us spreading the fire twice, we forgot to. Which, again, is massively unhelping me.
It's alright, I lose track of things, but it's quite useful. Because that was the point of the fire.
I'm just fabulously fire-tracking myself.
The whole point of having it included.
What is the fire actually burning at this point?
There's huge amounts of broken chairs, beams have fallen from
carpets,
the ceiling, carpets,
floorboards.
Plush. It's a fire trap.
Problem with posh houses, posh carpets, which are very, thick.
I never understand why in films so many castles burn down. It's stone. How does that happen?
Inside.
That's why I was asking that question.
Everyone's got tapestries everywhere.
Yeah.
Those tapestries. So
can't move
wooden
the tapestries.
Floors.
Anyway, Sasha.
So I just, because there's a lot of, you've been talking about, there's people moving around, broken.
Underneath.
Yeah. So, and which I can see now, and there's the option to, so, yeah.
What, you haven't told me what you're doing.
Oh, I want a perception check to hear if there's anyone.
Oh, yeah,
coming.
Okay, I'm sorry, I
lost
track.
You got a 15.
I saw that land, but that was a 15, I misheard you. Okay, what's your perception modifier?
6.
6, so you're at 21 total. Mm-hmm. You hear calls from elsewhere in the building. It sounds like they're coming from a door which is sort of directly above you that would lead onto the stage. Mm-hmm. And you hear the cries of the Frenchman and maybe a couple of other people dotted around the cellar, but you couldn't pinpoint the other two. You knew the Frenchman because basically you were aware of him falling.
Okay, I think that people who are much better at healing and helping will probably be coming along, so I want to sneak down that hole and follow them.
In which case, I will get you to make a stealth check now.
How far has he gone down that?
Out of sight.
Right, okay. Yep, stealth check. Cool.
Go for it.
I think I'm quite stealthy. I'm pretty stealthy. I'm 14 plus 7. So
21. 21?
21
solid.
Stealth.
Okay, so you get to move your move. You're going to be off the map, but still in combat time, so you disappear off the map. Okay. And then last but not least, the diplomat. It's
Hooray.
3. So he'll be rolling the strength check, and you roll to aid.
My aid was 4.
Your aid was 4. You don't aid, but he makes it.
We'll pretend I did.
All of you managed to pull up the knocked out
Japanese guy.
Japanese diplomat.
Cool.
But you are next to a raging fire, so you may want to move.
Yeah.
Given that he has used his strength check but still has a move action, because that was his standard action, the diplomat is going to do so.
Mm-hmm.
5, 10, 15, 20, 30.
Cool.
And I think that is a good place to call it. We're still in a kind of emergency situation, but the fight aspect is certainly kind of wrapped up. So we'll call that here, and then we'll reconvene with you, listener, next week. So that's goodbye from me.
Bye from me.
Goodbye.
It's a place to see the back of you, really.
Bye, all.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
How are we finding it so far?
Delicious. Delicious role play.